Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Today is a really, really important show. We're going to talk about four things that you don't know anything about that you should. I'll make it all clear in a little bit, but you're going to want to listen, and then you're going to want to at some point share this with your friends. Let them know where they can listen, and I'll give you all that information in a little bit. This is a show you probably should listen to with a pencil and paper. Welcome to Assets and Aging, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. This show is dedicated to two things, figuring out, as we get older, how we're going to pay for it and who's going to take care of us. I have an upcoming workshop on September the 9th that you're not going to want to miss. You'll understand more about that in a little bit. But at the end of the day, that's what this show is about. That's what I've been doing for 25 years. That's what I have dedicated every waking hour of my life to, is helping people not lose everything. In the last couple weeks, I saved a family over $300,000 that they would have lost. You don't need to lose everything just because at the end of your life you needed long-term care. Glad to have you with us. Couple things I have to get out of the way. Remember, my name is Bob Scrivano, your host. I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what they're talking about. I know some good ones. I know some that, never mind. I have a California insurance license. I have a legal, by the way, I have to tell you that because there's a law that says I have to tell you that. Even if I'm not doing anything in it with insurance, even if this show is not about insurance, I have to tell you that because I've had one for 45 years. I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento, California, Sacramento County, California. A legal document assistant license allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. Most people don't even know such a thing exists. Well, I am one. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I do not give tax advice. I'm not a certified tax anything. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. Talk to an advisor. That said, a lot of what I have to say is pretty good. There's a lot of different ways you can get a hold of me. One is my website. I just finished doing my podcast for the week not very long ago. If you haven't listened to my podcast, you can listen to them on my website every week. My website is Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, Aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can go there, you can listen to my podcast, you can listen to my radio shows, you can read my blog, you can sign up for my upcoming workshop, you can call me, my phone number is 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. There's lots of ways to get a hold of me, lots of ways to get information, lots of ways to get help for you or your family. I know you've talked to other people. I know you hear other stuff. I know you've been to other workshops. You've never been to one like mine. Ever. And you won't hear anybody on the radio talking about the things that I talk about. Ever. And I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can. Been on KFPK for 19 years now. Next year will be 20 years. In fact, I think we're now in our 20th year. I can't remember. So, glad to have you here. Lots to talk about. The title of today's show is Four New Things That You Don't Know About That You Should Know About. And we're going to take our time. It's not all going to be understandable at first. Some of it is really difficult to understand. I'll be talking about it in more detail at my upcoming workshop. I'll have a special guest there. My next workshop is free. It's on Saturday, September the 9th. You can sign up for it on my website, or you can call me at 800-999-8007, and I will send you tickets. You can also look for my ad the week after Labor Day in the Sacramento Bee. We're going to be talking about lots of things there. For instance, I don't have time to talk to you about issues of people who want you to not be able to get Medi-Cal if you go into a nursing home. An organization that is recently formed in California to try to deny vets benefits. 19 questions you should ask your financial advisor. One of the best articles I've ever read. An unbelievable article on Alzheimer's that I may try to get to later on. New federal regulations relating to nursing homes. So much stuff we're going to be able to talk to at the workshop that I just don't have time for in my 52 minutes here. So what I want to talk about are four new areas that you've never heard of that you need to hear of. And I'm going to just start with, this is in no particular order, I'm going to start with VA. I'm not an accredited VA agent. I know some really good ones. I know people who are really, really good at it. But this is in general terms. In January of 2015, I've talked about this before, the VA proposed new look-back regulations to get aid in attendance, a very important veterans benefit that the Veterans Administration has and the government, especially under the last administration, have been trying to quash for years. They don't want, and there's a whole cottage industry. There's a new organization that just formed. I'm not going to tell you much about it, except let me read you something from one of their, where is it? From one of their publications. I just had it with me. Hang on a second. Oh, here it is. The VA, now this is from a new government-sponsored agency in California. And I want to read you something from one of their press releases. And it says, the VA, now listen to this. This is a veteran supposedly to help veterans. Listen to this. The VA aid and attendance benefit was never intended for every senior veteran who served during a time of war. It is not an entitlement. It was meant only for those veterans or their spouses who were financially struggling at the end of their lives. That is patently a lie. If you read the regulations at all, you know that's patently a lie. Well, there have been lots of people trying to do away with this benefit because it's costing the government more money than they thought it was going to cost. And because nobody can understand the rules. The VA in January of 2015 proposed a change to those regulations in which they're going to create a 3-year look back, establishing a net worth limit, a penalty period. If you have a house on more than 2 acres, you will not be able to get the benefit. If you have certain IRAs or life insurance policies or annuities, you will not be able to get the benefit. But the final rules have not been published. So here's my first thing you need to know about, but don't. I'm looking at a source. I'm not going to read the source name, but these people really stay up on this stuff. Folks, I subscribe to a lot of newsletters. I have a lot of Google word alerts. I have all kinds of stuff. The purpose of which is to try to keep you informed. But here's their best guess. It says, more than 2 years later, we are still waiting to learn what the final rule will be and when it will take effect. We don't know. The best guess of people in the know, and this is one of them, is that the VA is unable to share these amendments at this time. The rule is expected to undergo VBA concurrence by the end of August, and with full VA concurrence to follow. the VA does not expect the final rule to be published before the end of summer or early fall of this year. My point is, you need to keep track of this if you're a vet. Because believe me when I tell you, there is an ongoing effort by a lot of people. And I'll talk more about this at the workshop. I just don't have time in this radio show. There are a lot of groups. I've got tons of stuff from nonprofits and organizations all over the state. I listened to a radio program the other day with a bunch of attorneys on it, all of whom are looking to sue people and organizations that help veterans get VA benefits. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. So, and in addition to that, we're going to have new rules from the VA that may or may not bring aid in attendance to a halt. Certainly put a really big dent in it. So veterans who today are qualified for the benefit might not be 2 years from now when these new rules go into effect, and thus will be denied a very, very important veterans benefit when the day comes that they need help or care or assisted living. I think it's outrageous, but it's coming. So that's the first thing you don't know about that you should. These are in no particular order. The next one is called GMO. You can write this down. It's the name of a court case, name of a settlement. It was a lawsuit called GMO v. Sebelius, which let's see when this was filed. The original GMO v. Sebelius was 2013. So that's 4 years ago, January of 2013. So we're just now finally getting around. There was a court settlement, and they're finally getting around to that settlement. And why is this important? I'm going to explain it to you, Lucy. This is on the CMS website, cms.gov, are the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. That's the government agency that controls all Medicare and all Medicaid / Medi-Cal. It's all in one agency. The largest budget item in America is in one agency, one bureaucracy. And this is an update from CMS on 8/24/17. At least that's when I opened it up. And let's see if there's a date on this, the actual notice. I don't see an actual notice. I just downloaded this and printed it. Okay, so here's what this means. Now, follow the bouncing ball. This is going to take me a minute. You go to the hospital. We're going to talk. We got another one about hospitals in a minute. You got to listen to these folks. There are four things you don't know that are going to impact your life or somebody you love. And Jimmo's one of them. So you go to the hospital. You broke your hip. You fell and broke your hip. I'm making stuff up. Maybe it's a stroke. I don't know. You go to the hospital. You're in the hospital for 3 days. They move you then to the nursing home for rehab. And everybody's familiar with, if you go and spend 3 days, three midnights in the hospital, and you go to a nursing home, then Medicare pays for it for up to 20 days, and then may pay for it for another 80 days with a deductible. Not going into all of that. That's not the important part here. Now, prior to this settlement, which, by the way, this is 4 years old now, but it's just now going into effect, and we've just had rules issued. As long as you were improving and likely to go home, then Medicare would pay for up to 100 days. But nobody ever met that. Because at some point, people either plateau out, in other words, they don't get better, or they go home. And so Medicare would stop paying. The average time in California at one time a few years ago was only 6 days that Medicare paid for nursing homes for rehab. Now, this lawsuit, GMO v. Sebelius, changed all that. And I want to read you some stuff here. I mean, and some of this won't make a lot of sense, but I want to read you what the press release actually said. Skilled nursing services would be covered where such skilled nursing services are necessary to maintain the patient's current condition or prevent or slow further deterioration, so long as the beneficiary, the person in a nursing home, requires skilled care for the services to be safely and effectively provided. That's the change. That's huge. Remember, it used to be you had to be improving. Now the requirement is, and the threshold is, let me read this to you again. Outpatient therapy setting does not turn on the presence or absence of a beneficiary's potential for improvement, but rather on the beneficiary's need for skilled care. So, what does that mean? This is huge. This is huge. So it used to be mom got kicked out after 7 or 8 days because she couldn't cooperate with the therapy anymore. She wasn't getting any better. So Medicare stopped paying, and the family either paid $600 a day for therapy or they took mom home. Now the rule is, as long as, let me read it to you again. I'm reading from the CMS bulletin. The setting does not turn on the presence or absence of a beneficiary's potential for improvement, but rather on the beneficiary's need for skilled care. In other words, if they could not receive that care in a home setting, continue to get therapy, continue to do all that, then Medicare will continue to pay for skilled care, rehabilitative therapy, for up to the full 100 days. Let me read this another sentence to you. The GMO settlement agreement may reflect a change in practice for those providers, adjudicators, and contractors who may have erroneously believed that the Medicare program covers nursing and therapy services under these benefits only when a beneficiary is expected to improve. The GMO settlement agreement is consistent with the Medicare program's regulations governing maintenance nursing and therapy in skilled nursing facilities. Notice it says maintenance. It's really important to understand what the change in these definitions mean. It means if you need to stay in the nursing home to keep from getting worse because you could not get these therapies or treatments at home, there's nobody to help you, you need to remain in the nursing home, then Medicare will now pay for an extended period of time up to, pardon me, the full 100 days per calendar year. You may not know how big a deal that is, but I'm here to tell you that that's a really, 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 really big deal. It's also important to note that in here they go out of the way that says, oh, this is not a change in Medicare law. This has been around since the beginning. We just didn't enforce it or allow it. I thought that was pretty hysterical. So it's a really, really, really big deal. The GMO settlement is a really big deal. So we've got two of them. Two things you should know but probably don't and you haven't heard of and that could impact seniors, thousands if not tens of thousands. By the way, do you understand how much money that last one saves? Because it was before that after Medicare stopped paying, families had to pay the nursing home $400-$600 a day for rehab. They won't have to do that anymore. Under the GMO settlement. It's a huge difference, and you need to know about it, and you need to understand it. You need to understand the first one about what the impact of the new VA rules are going to be when they come out, what is now expected to be in the fall, and there's going to be a look back period and a period of ineligibility of up to 10 years. The point is with the VA folks, and this is my opinion only, but it's like a lot of stuff when it comes to seniors. They're waiting for you to die. If you die before you get the benefit, the claim ends. If they can keep you waiting for 5 years to get the benefit, you know, and we're talking about a declining population of World War II and Korean vets and even now Vietnam vets, if they can outwait you, then they don't have to pay the benefit. And for people who've been around this for a long time, that's the way it works. Remember, it takes on a good day 9 months to a year to get aid and attendance. I think that's obscene that an ill vet, I mean, look at the mess the VA, by the way, next time somebody says, well, let's have the government run medical stuff, just look at what's going on in VA hospitals of late. So two things that you should know about. That last part was my opinion only. Two more things I want to get to. And I'm sitting here looking at my clock here. I think I can begin to get into this one, because the next two are also fairly complicated. let's go ahead and get started on this one, because this one's important. I may have to carry this over to the second half hour, but that's okay. You have heard me talk. This is the third thing you don't know about that now you have a chance to know about. You've heard me talk many, many times about admission versus observation. That lots of people go to the hospital and they're in the hospital and they're in the hospital for 3 days and they come out of the hospital and all of a sudden they get a big bill from their from their insurance company, and they go, well, wait a minute, I have a Medicare supplement. I thought this was, well, you were never admitted to the hospital. What do you mean I was never admitted to the hospital? Well, you were never, well, I was in the hospital. I ate the food. I was in a room. They put a catheter in. They took blood. I was in the hospital. Yeah, but you weren't admitted to the hospital. You were simply there for observation. That becomes a really also a gigantic deal, and it's been, I think, an outrageous scandal for years. This is all under the Affordable Care Act stuff. And it's been around forever and forever and forever, and nobody's paid any attention to it. And if you go to a nursing home, all of a sudden you find out that what I was just talking about, which is Medicare would pay for rehab, Medicare won't pay for rehab because you were never admitted to the hospital, and everybody goes, but I was in the hospital. Yeah, you were in the hospital. You were there under observation. You were never admitted. And people get very confused. Well, there may be an answer. And I'm going to get into that answer in the second half hour, but let me just tell you that a class action lawsuit has been filed. Back in, I believe, Connecticut, in the U.S. District Court in Connecticut, called Alexander v. Price. And I want to talk about that a little bit and why you need to follow this case and why you need to pay attention to it. I just want to take a minute to talk about information. Information is power. It's always been power. When you understand stuff, you don't lose everything to the cost of a nursing home. When you understand stuff, you don't wind up with not understanding admission versus observation. When you understand stuff and you have information, you understand your rights under GMO. There's a whole nother new set of regs that I'm not going to really get to today that are changes in nursing, federal changes in nursing home rules. But that's not one of the things I wanted to get to today. I'll save that for another time. It's one of the reasons you go to my website. It's one of the reasons you should get to my workshop. On Saturday, September the 9th, I'm going to have a workshop at the Crowne Plaza Hotel here in Sacramento. It's free. It starts at 10 a.m. At that workshop, I'm going to have a special guest, and I'm going to be talking about all this stuff. And I'm going to talk about what you can do to protect yourself from all of this stuff, to be prepared to not be a victim when you or a loved one at the end of life needs some form of long-term care. I'm going to talk about that in detail. And hopefully, you will want to hear that. It's free. If you would like to get to that workshop, bring a friend or a family member. All you have to do is go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-N-D-A-G-I-N-G.com. Or call me at 800-999-8007 to make reservations, or look for my ad this coming week in the Sacramento Bee. Don't miss the workshop. We're going to be talking about all these things in detail. 800-999-8007. Don't go away. When I come back, I'm going to talk about admission versus observation and a brand new federal lawsuit that might change all this. Stick around. I'll be back here in just a second, right here on Assets and Aging. Okay, I'm back right here on Assets and Aging and 40 in the Future. This is Bob Scrivano, your host. We've been talking about four things that you don't know about that you should, because it's going to impact somebody in your family or you someday when it comes to long-term care planning. And there, some of them are huge, some of them are even huger, to coin an old phrase. I know it's not correct in English. I get that. It's used for emphasis. I know that's not correct, too. It's used for emphasis. Okay, we're talking about a new lawsuit, a class action lawsuit filed in Connecticut. It's called Alexander v. Price. Now, it has to do with observation versus admission. I want to read you something. This is from an article from the Center for Medicare Advocacy. I printed this out a couple days ago. I don't remember which day, but just a couple days ago. "84-year-old Nancy Neamy of North Carolina was hospitalized for 39 days earlier this year after her doctor sent her to the emergency room. It took weeks to stabilize her blood pressure, and she experienced serious complications. But unbelievably, Ms. Neamy was categorized as an outpatient on observation status for her entire hospitalization, and she therefore lacked the 3-day inpatient stay Medicare requires for coverage of her subsequent very expensive care at a nursing home." Can you imagine? Now, understand, Medicare is now not paying for that. She is. Mrs. Neamy's son tried to help her challenge her lengthy placement on observation status, but Medicare does not allow beneficiaries to appeal this issue. She still owes thousands of dollars. They don't even say how much. It will be in the tens of thousands of dollars, folks. She still owes thousands of dollars to the nursing facility. However, due to the federal court decision issued July 31st, 2017, she is now a member of a nationwide class of hospital patients who may gain the right to appeal their placement on observation status. In Alexander v. Price, the judge, a U.S. District Court in Connecticut, certified a class, listen to this, composed of all Medicare beneficiaries who since January the 1st, 2009 have received or will have received observation services as an outpatient during a hospitalization. The late, I'm not going to give you her name, of Delaware, for example, one of the named plaintiffs in the case, had to pay thousands of dollars for nursing facility care after being hospitalized for 6 days on observation status. "My mother was treated just like she was inpatient," her daughter said, "but she was never allowed to try to prove her case to Medicare. It was unfair." Class members are likely to number in the hundreds of thousands. I'm still reading from this article. This is really important, folks. Again, this is one of the four things you don't know about that has a huge impact on seniors who need long-term care. The court cited a 2012 study by researchers at Brown University that identified, this was in 2012, that identified 918,180 Medicare beneficiaries who experienced observation days in 2009 alone. Do you know how much money this has cost people over the years who were in a hospital, ate the food, had samples drawn, maybe had EKGs done, maybe had x-rays done, that were not actual inpatients of the hospital? It's been a scandal for me for years, and I've been talking about it on the radio for I don't know how many years, but nobody listens. Everybody thinks that this stuff, as they get older, is going to impact somebody else. And then they're always stunned when it happens to them. And anyhow, blah, 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 blah. And so we now have a lawsuit, a federal lawsuit. Keep your eye on this one. It's a class action lawsuit. And it's going to be really interesting to find out, because I cannot tell you over the last several years how many seniors I know of have been caught up in this, and I can't tell you how many seniors I know of, because of this radio program, have said, Bob, thank you, 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 thank you. My mom went to the hospital, and I knew to ask these questions. Just because you're in a hospital doesn't mean you're in a hospital. I know that makes no sense, but that's the way the rules currently stand. Hopefully, this class action lawsuit in Connecticut will have an impact on this. There has to be. There has to be a way to appeal this, because right now it's just left up to the hospital. Now, understand why this is this way. And I'm paraphrasing the rule because I don't have it in front of me. But there's a rule, and I may have my percentages wrong, so don't be a purist about this. But why do hospitals do this? Well, in the Affordable Care Act, there's a penalty. A penalty? What kind of penalty? Well, if you go to the hospital and they admit you, let's say you have a heart attack. I'm just making stuff up. And you go to the hospital for the heart attack, and they admit you, and then you're discharged from the hospital, and you come back to the hospital within 30 days for the same reason you were in the hospital the first time, Medicare pays the hospital less money. So in order to not have that happen, this lady in this case was in the hospital for 39 days. Now, once she was discharged, if she came back to the hospital for the same reason, the hospital would have been paid the full amount by Medicare because it was not a readmission. Remember, she had never been admitted in the first place. If you don't think this is always all about money, you're not paying attention. Why do you think all the healthcare stuff is bogged down in Washington? It's over Medicaid, folks. It's over money, because the feds spend billions of dollars. Why do you think we went from 7 million people on Medi-Cal in California to one-third of the population of California? Money. Because the feds send the state a ton of money. And a lot of that money, most of it, goes to hospitals. Because that's the only place Medi-Cal patients can go, or clinics, to get help. It's billions, with a B, of dollars. The same thing is true with observation and admission. The reason the hospital doesn't admit the person and keeps them under observation is that way, if they come back within 30 days, they get paid the full amount all over again. It's about money. It's not about quality of care. You need to understand the difference. It's really important. Between observation and admission. So watch this lawsuit carefully and make sure that when you go to the hospital or your parents go or whoever it is, that the minute they leave the emergency room, you want to know if they're, and by the way, watch midnights, because part of the Medicare rule is 3 midnights. I, you know, everybody thinks I make this stuff up. I don't make this stuff up. And if you come to the workshop on Saturday, you're going to hear even more about this. It's important that you understand, because it costs people lots of money. So you make sure that you, or if you take a loved one, you find out if that person's been admitted or if they're there just for observation. It's a huge difference. You can't appeal the decision, but you can sure make a lot of noise as to why they're not admitting your mother, why they're sending her up to the floors with a catheter, and she's still just under observation. You want lots of notes, and you need to learn to take really good notes whenever you take somebody to the hospital now. Okay, the fourth thing you don't know about that could have a huge impact, and this one is a biggie, and it's a good one. Now, it's bad, and that these rules were required as of 2014. The state of California just got around to implementing them. So for 3 years, people who were eligible for this program were not eligible for this program because the state had better things to do than actually write the regulations. And this this will make no sense to you, in something called an all-county letter. California uses something called all-county welfare director's letters. You can go to the Department of Health Care Services website and you can look up every all-county letter that's ever been written. And what they are is they're a letter, an administrative letter, from the director of health care services to the county directors of healthcare services. And it says, look, there's a rule. So for instance, I'll give you an example. So the rule says you can only go 65 in California. An all-county letter would say when you could go 65. Can you go 65 at night? Only between the hours of 6 and noon? Only during a full moon? It's how the state is going to interpret a regulation or a rule. So these have the effect of law. I mean, this is what the counties follow. So for 3 years, they've just ignored this. And finally, on July 19th, 2017, because I'm looking at the all-county letter, all-county letter, you know, I love Medi-Cal workers. They really work hard. The eligibility workers I know work hard. They're so helpful to me and my clients, especially the ones in Sacramento. I can't even begin to tell you what wonderful people they are. Now, effective September 1st, I think, whatever it is, in Sacramento, you can no longer talk to a worker. You're only going to be able to talk to a Centrex system. I think that's appalling, and you should be screaming at your county supervisors to find out why. That we will no longer be able to talk to the actual workers. I just think it's outrageous. I know it's a budgetary item, and once again, seniors get shafted. So instead of being able to file for a Medi-Cal application for a client in a nursing home, having that assigned to a worker, and then being able to work with that worker in a friendly manner so that we can get the case approved and find out what they need and make their life better. Now you have to just call a central phone number and you get somebody with a computer screen in front of them who doesn't know anything about the case. And you all should be screaming at your county supervisors about why they've done this to seniors. Because this is just a budgetary item, folks. It's not a state thing, it's a county thing. When you call the county Medi-Cal office, you're calling a county office. and the workers there are wonderful, but this is why I hate the bureaucracy. So All County Letter number 1725. The purpose of this letter, now listen to this. The purpose of this letter is to clarify changes made by the Affordable Care Act. Now, I don't know when the Affordable Care Act went into place, but like what, 7 years ago? 6 years ago? We're just clarifying the changes. It's why administratively, this just drives me crazy. Okay? And unless you subscribe to these or know where they are, you'll never know this happened. Okay. So listen to it. Listen to who this letter went out to. All county welfare directors, all county administrative officers, all county Medi-Cal program specialists, all county health executives, all county mental health directors, California Department of Aging, California Department of Developmental Services, California Department of Public Health, California Department of Social Services, and all health benefit waiver administrators, coordinators. Not to the public or the newspapers or to, nobody knows about this stuff except a few of us. So the purpose of this letter is to clarify changes made by the Affordable Care Act like from 6 years ago that broadened the definition of an institutionalized spouse. The new definition allows for a broader, I'm reading from the letter, an immediate application of the spousal impoverishment provisions for those receiving home and community-based services. The spousal impoverishment provisions, blah, 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 blah. And the letter is, I don't know, it's, I don't know, 15 pages long. I'm just looking at it, I don't know. But here's what it does in a nutshell, and here's why this is really important, and here's why this really makes me angry and should make you angry too. This stuff was written into the Affordable Care Act 6 years ago. They're just now getting around to implementing it. What it means is for the last 6 years, people who have applied for this health care benefit from the state of California have been denied benefits because they were using rules that were in effect before the Affordable Care Act. Now, in a nutshell, here's what this means and why it's important. I wish some of you actually would call county boards of supervisors when this stuff happens. Anyhow, I'm taking a deep breath so I can figure out where to start. There's a program in Medi-Cal called IHSS, In-Home Support Services. In-Home Support Services is we have somebody at home and they need help and there's nobody to help them. Maybe they have an elderly spouse or whatever and they're low income. And they apply for this benefit called IHSS. And IHSS will pay for over 200 hours a month, up to over 200 hours a month, to send a caregiver to the home. They pay a minimum wage, whatever that is now. But here's the kicker. In order to get that, there are asset limits that you have to meet. And income limits. Basically, you can have a couple thousand dollars of assets, and about $1,000-$1,500 a month of income. Those are approximate numbers. Don't get hung up on them. Now, if you were married, you still could only have a couple $3,000 worth of assets. So if you had $50,000 in assets, you couldn't get IHSS. Because we've got an 85-year-old woman trying to take care of her 85-year-old husband. She can't do it. She has a little income. She has $50,000 in the bank, and she applies for IHSS 3 years ago, and she gets denied because she has too much money. So there's nobody coming in to help take care of her husband, and she becomes more ill and more frail, and you know the story. So what this letter did was implement changes in the Affordable Care Act that said you have to use the same spousal impoverishment numbers. This is a simplification for home-based services that you do for a nursing home. Now, you've heard me say a lot of times that for a nursing home, A well spouse can keep a house about $120,000 at least, a certain amount of income, and other things, burial plots, cars, business, you know, all that kind of stuff. But those rules were not applied to in-home care, even though they should have been applied since the Affordable Care Act passed. In July of this year, we get a letter that says from now on, they're going to apply, and they even have examples, the spousal impoverishment numbers. Now, why is this huge? That means now that that same wife, in my example, who had a house and $50,000 in the bank, now can get some help for her husband through IHSS so that she doesn't drop dead of a stroke, to help take care of him in the home, whereas last year she would have been denied those benefits, even though the law had been passed, California had never gotten around to writing the regulations. Now, you can be outraged by that or not, I don't care. But imagine the number of people who were denied benefits, who under the Affordable Care Act should have received benefits because the county, because the state didn't get around to writing the regulations to implement it, and they actually did it under an all-county letter. This doesn't even require any California legislative approval. It's an administrative letter. The head of the Department of Healthcare Services issued this letter. The legislature doesn't even know anything about this. They're off worried about tobacco taxes and other stuff. And the governor doesn't care about this. He's interested in trains. It doesn't matter that seniors and frail seniors. This also applies. Understand, this all benefit also applies to the parent of a child with Down's or cerebral palsy or something like that who can't go to work and make some money, because if the husband and wife do, they make too much money and so they lose it. Do you understand that this would have changed the lives literally of probably, I don't have an exact number, tens of thousands of people in California? I don't know how many. A lot. It would be a lot. I can't tell you, folks, how important these four changes are. They're going to impact the lives, or are impacting the lives, of tens of thousands of seniors in California. And my guess is you're not aware of any of them. You haven't heard of any of them. Nobody's talking about any of this. And the only place you're going to hear it is here. You know, I know it's really important to worry about how much interest you're making on your stock portfolio or at the bank or all that other stuff. I understand that. But do you understand how much money you can lose in a heartbeat, not knowing what's going to happen when you need long-term care, not knowing who's going to pay for it, not understanding any of that? I think it's important. And so I'm going to keep talking about it, and I'm going to talk about it a lot at my workshop on Saturday. So write this down. You have to have a reservation to come. But Saturday the 9th of September, 10 o'clock in the morning, it's free, Crown Plaza Hotel, Madison and 80 in Sacramento. Yeah, I know it's a really long drive from Elk Grove, but if it saved you $200,000 when you got sick, would it make a difference? I know it's a really long drive from Lincoln, but if it saved you $200,000 when you went to a nursing home, would it be worth it? 10 o'clock, Saturday, September the 9th. I keep starting to call it the Holiday Inn, folks. A lot of you remember it as Holiday Inn with the airplane out front. It's now a Crown Plaza. I've been in workshops here for 20 years. It's stunning, isn't it? 20 years. You can make a reservation for the workshop by calling me at 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up there, and I'll email you a ticket. But you have to make a reservation to get in. You can also look for my ad starting this coming week in the B. It'll probably run Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the week before the workshop, and that'll have the information on how you can, if you don't get a chance to write it down, you can look in the B, and you can see my ad, and you can sign up. It'll give you all the links and all that good stuff. Understanding what you don't understand is important, because that's what could wind up saving you more money than you can imagine. So the title of the show was The Four Things That You Don't Know That You Should. And we've talked about all four of them in some detail. Now you have a decision to make. Get to the workshop. Get in to see me. The consultation is free. But make a difference in your life before you become a victim of circumstance. And at the end of life, you wind up losing everything when you didn't have to because you didn't think you had a choice. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Share this program with somebody. Tell them to listen. Share the website with somebody. Tell them to go there and sign up. Thanks again for the privilege of coming into your home. I appreciate all of you who listen and have been faithful all these years. I hope today was helpful. Look forward to seeing you at the workshop. Have a wonderful day. From Bob Scrivano and Assets and Aging.